You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Hey there, real estate fan, and thanks for joining me again today for another episode of Real Escape Investing. This week, I've got a crazy episode queued up for us, and this stems from my experience of recruiting and training people here locally in Canada, having a huge amount of trouble with it, discovering the VA scene, and then researching the degree to which us Canadians are just lagging behind the Americans in terms of using virtual assistants. We're going to talk about how you can take advantage of this virtual revolution that's going on and to analyze how us Canadians could do more to be a bit like our more productive American peers.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
So before jumping into the content for today's episode, I do just want to give you the usual preamble that I give to the show, which is that some of the stuff that we discuss here, like 100% has social and political consequences. Some of it has to do with analyzing data and looking at the trends of what's going on. And my purpose is not so much to take a political position on this, although obviously, you know, you can tell that there are certain amounts of experiences that then, you know, transform themselves into having certain perspectives on things. But my real goal with this show is to help you, investor, make smart decisions and have a wider, bigger understanding of what's going on from a macro perspective, whether it has to do with the real estate market, with the labor market, with different kinds of things that are affecting our activities as investors and business people, and also just as human beings. And my goal with that is really to motivate action. So to help you make the right decisions in this like volatile, changing environment that we live in. And while we're on the topic of action, I do want to personally invite you to our next Equity Builders Club networking event in Montreal. You can grab a discount for that with my promo code of ML5. The tickets are available on EquityBuildersClub/events. We have one a month. And what's so great about this is that when we're talking about action, so many investors and business people are just trying to do things on their own. And when it comes to our social circles where, you know, we're really isolated from other people who have this macro perspective and also this like perspective that we want to develop and help others and just advance in a way that's intelligent, well, the best way to do that is to surround yourself with a network of like-minded individuals. And that's really what prompted me to found the Equity Builders Club community, which we nourish and grow through our in-person networking events. So again, the details to purchase your ticket for the next event, come join us, equitybuildersclub.com/events. And then you can use my promo code ML5. So that's the acronym for my book, Mindful Landlord, and $5 for $5 off. So ML5 is the promo code. I would love to see you out at the next event. And, you know, as we get into the show today, you're going to see how really the network, the relation, the social aspect, I think going forward is going to be a serious edge that on the labor market and also as investors, we can build as we go through this transition of the, you know, VA revolution, which is offshoring just a ton of service work. And also, you know, the AI revolution, which is sitting behind that, which is also going to really change the labor market. Well, one of the things that is not going to be taken over with that is the capacity of us to build our relationships, to build our networks. And we already know that real estate investing is a heavily human relational game, whether it's how you deal with your tenants, how you deal with finding deals, how you deal with the professionals that you work with. All of that really has to do with building relationships, having good social skills, and having a network around you that can help you make sound decisions. And the competitive advantage that is going to accrue to people who invest in their relationships and in their social skills in their network, I think that that's really like you know, as the labor market changes, that's going to be one of the ways in which we can, you know, maybe take advantage and have something that's not easily replaceable by, you know, someone who's working in Pakistan or the Philippines, doing admin work, or, you know, AI or ChatGPT, right? Like, they might be good at drafting emails, but maybe not so good at building and maintaining relationships with the other humans who are making decisions in the real estate field. So, you know, I want to start the episode today just with sharing with you some of my struggles as a business owner and an investor. So for those of you who know me personally, you know that I've been trying to, you know, scale my portfolio, which I've done quite aggressively. I went from owning 10 doors, you know, just 5 years ago to now having somewhere upward of 100. I do also do some outside management as well with my management company. And so in this growth phase, obviously there's been a ton of administrative work and, you know, different stuff like that has to get done in the investing business. But then also with growing the Equity Builders Club community, like from a very transparent point of view, the admin and bookkeeping workload of that has been growing as the business continues to grow. So for those of you who've been following me and who have maybe had the chance to have chats with me, you know, at the events and elsewhere, know that I've really been struggling with filling that position for the admin role in my company. And, you know, like a good traditional old school mid-40s person, you know, I've been trying and failing for the last 9 months. So ever since the beginning of 2025, to hire a program coordinator, admin assistant, bookkeeper to help me with some of that administrative work. And it's just been like lurching from one disaster after the next. So I've gone through about five people. Out of five of them, three of them were hospitalized. I say it within quotes because I don't want to cast aspersions on people's health, but it seems a little bit suspicious that within, you know, the first month of working, they had severe health issues, which made it impossible for them to, you know, show up regularly on the job. And, you know, between the health situation and then also just the fact that it honestly feels like, you know, the younger generation, the labor pool that's out there, when I talk to other business owners in my demographic, it just is very challenging to find people who are willing to run and work and, you know, fill the positions that we have in a way that has a work ethic that's commensurate with maybe our work ethic when we were that age, and also just what needs to happen. And then that's also not talking about the skills gap, because through all the, you know, different people that I have recruited over the past 9 months, everybody on their CV had the qualifications that it looked like they needed for the job. So some bookkeeping experience, some admin experience. And then very quickly, almost within like the first 2 weeks of employment, it became clear to me that they weren't able to perform the functions that were listed in the job description and that they had on their CV, like really very quickly. And, you know, I did everything. I used a recruiting company. I must have spent, you know, really a month. If I look at the last 9 months between recruiting on Indeed, using ZipRecruiter, doing interviews, in-person interviews, online interviews, then vetting the person, because obviously you're not going to allow them to start like logging into your company systems without doing a minimum of credit checks and background checks and stuff like that. So vetting them and then going through the training process. And, you know, through the past year, I do like to think that with using Loom and having various SOPs that we do have a training process that's set up internally. But despite that, you do need to kind of like babysit new staff. And then with all that time investment, having these different labor relationships blow up in such a short time, like it's been super discouraging. And so, you know, what I did after suffering from this is I finally brought this problem to my mastermind group that interestingly has, you know, some female business owners and investors who are more advanced and who have their business activities based in the United States. And like, they just laughed at me, you know, like in a nice way, but they were laughing at me being like, ho, 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 Terry, what are you doing? You're still trying to like recruit an in-person assistant. Like, isn't that quaint and cute and so year 2000 of you? And I was like, okay, well, you know, like I feel like most of the other people around me, the business owners that I talk to that are local here, are all having the same complaint of the fact that we really can't fill our positions with people who are qualified and who have the work ethic that we would like to see. And my American peers were really telling me like, oh, Terry, like you need to just go and take this to Upwork, take it to Fiverr, take it to ZipRecruiter and hire offshore for these needs, because there are people, Pakistan, India, the Philippines, you know, if you're in more of a French speaking environment as I am here in Montreal, you might might look at, you know, Morocco or Madagascar or even France. And there are all of these other countries where you find highly qualified people who are willing to take on the work and who also have very specialized skills. Because that's the other issue, is if you're trying to locally recruit an assistant who needs to be able to span bookkeeping and doing a bit of admin work, it's really difficult to find people who are agile enough and who have those skills to be able to just work across industries. And so, like, you know, that kind of like skill gap where really like the people that you can find locally just, you know, don't have the correct skills and then, you know, trying to match that with whatever position you have, and then cycling through people is going to be like super frustrating. So, you know, I went through this experience and I'll tell you about it a little bit later on in the show of how I then, you know, worked through Upwork to really constitute a team of virtual assistants who are going to be able to take over each aspect of my employment needs. But what I found super interesting is that when I started, you know, diving into some of the data of Canada versus the US, it really occurred to me that like all of you guys who are trying to do something here locally in Canada, you really need to have this on your radar because it's an incredible opportunity. So we do know that Canadians and Americans, we have had a big divergence in our productivity over the past 20 years. And, you know, we know that for Canada's GDP per hour worked, our productivity in Canada is 15 to 20% lower than the US. And we've really flatlined over the past decade. So I think that's interesting just from like a big picture point of view is that generally speaking, Canadian workers and Canadian companies are less efficient than, you know, our American peers. And so given the fact that our cultures are really similar, like it makes me want to think about why this is, whether some of that has to do with adoption of new technologies like AI, or whether it has to do with leveraging VAs. And I think we're going to see that this leveraging of virtual assistants is one of the main ways in which American companies and people can make themselves be more productive. So 80% of US businesses have hired or considered hiring VAs from Upwork. That this is a data that comes from Forbes, whereas in Canada, fewer than 30% report outsourcing administrative or support tasks. And, you know, just from an anecdotal perspective, like this is really what I see around me. And we'll get into, you know, some of the reasons why perhaps us in Canada were a little bit behind on this and some of the fears that investors and small business people have around this VA economy. But the fact that if 80% of our American peers are American small businesses and investors are doing this, I think it's really the way of the future and something that we need to consider implementing here if we want to be at the cutting edge and if we want to not be left behind by our peers. Now, the other thing to know is that in general, there's like a huge outsourcing trend where a lot of these support and administrative tasks are being moved offshore. So at least offshore from, you know, the United States, definitely, and also to a lesser degree, Canada. And it looks like there's a $260 billion global process outsourcing. So we are shifting that much money from our economies from the United States and Canada, that money is going offshore. So it's just really interesting in terms of thinking about this labor market mismatch where our labor markets here locally might be struggling, but we're actually, this is almost to the advantage of some of those service industry countries. So countries who specialize in providing service industry professionals for the North American market. And really amazing. Major chunk of this goes to service and admin jobs, appointment setting, lead generation, email management, customer, client marketing, social media management. All of that stuff is something that can be effectively delegated to virtual assistants. And so what you local Canadian investor, what you should hear from this is that there's this huge opportunity where American firms are, they've really trained a lot of the offshore labor, right? Like a lot of people in those countries, whether it's Pakistan, the Philippines, whatever, like English speaking labor market you want to talk about, the US firms have been responsible for training a lot of that labor and they're now available for hire to us Canadians who want to outsource some of our admin roles, especially in these cases where local talent just is not performing up to the level at which us as business owners, we would like them to. And I think if you, you know, tune into some of the complaints that, you know, investors who are scaling and small business people have here in Canada, you will hear this story again and again about just how hard it is to find, retain, train good labor. And that there's really kind of this like mismatch between work ethic, availability, skills, and like what small businesses actually need. So maybe something that might be interesting is to talk about like why we are lagging. And, you know, I include myself in some of these ideas of like, you know, what we Canadians throw up in our minds as excuses of why we do not hire these, you know, virtual assistants and outsource some of our admin roles at a lower cost than we would pay someone local, and probably actually to get the job done in a more efficient way with a higher degree of professionalism than labor that we would be paying more money locally. And so some of the common Canadian objections, and like, I know I suffered from this, is to say that, oh, you know, virtual assistants are really trained for Americans. And it's true that when you start interviewing people on Upwork, you will find that the vast majority of the labor that's available there has worked for American firms. So not all of them really specialize in the Canadian context. And, you know, that's a fear that a lot of us have, like, especially with, you know, bookkeeping or perhaps more specialized, let's say, property management softwares and stuff like that. It's true that we do not necessarily run here on the same platforms. Well, we do use some of the same platforms. So if you're talking about something like QuickBooks, or you're talking about some of the other, you know, Google Workspace or Loom or Stripe or whatever kind of platforms you use to administer your business, there is some consistency across platforms. But when we talk about either our tax codes, the way that we have to do our Canadian tax reporting, obviously that is not the same as what happens in the US. And then if you're talking about like more locally built property management softwares that are made for, you know, the Canadian investor. And then if we even want to get more granular, like, you know, us in Quebec, we tend to use some of our own homegrown software platforms just because our rental cycle and the needs of what you need to be able to do with Quebec, you know, accounting and reporting is just not the same. And so like we have these really like homegrown kind of systems. And then if you want to add to that the fact that the VA might have to speak French because some of your bills and emails are coming in French, like this then ends up becoming a bit of an excuse or an objection that we will say to ourselves, oh, well, like, you know, VAs are just for Americans because they're trained on their systems. And, you know, us here in Montreal or in Ottawa or like wherever, it's just not realistic for us to think that we can hire someone like that who's going to be able to work with the systems that we use. But, you know, when it comes to this, what I found super interesting when I started going down this rabbit hole is that there are actually firms who really do specialize, if it's, you know, a bookkeeping and accounting, who really do specialize in working with Canadians. And then also, you know, with the amount of labor that's available out there, the capacity to be able to hire and train someone, and we'll get into this later as far as what the best way is to do that. But there are a lot of people who are, you know, extremely agile with their technology. So they're very tech savvy, and their ability to like learn and master something new is not to be underestimated. And the other thing that I kind of want to point out is that, you know, the amount of agility that we need to stay on top of things as investors and as business owners, not just in Canada, but across the world, is incredible. And, you know, I will be sitting at dinner around the dinner table with my family where, like, you know, my parents will be making comments on how I run my business. And I'm like, you guys have no idea. Like right now, you know, let's say running my business on an everyday basis, I'm juggling between 15 to 20 different platforms, from, you know, Asana to ClickUp to Loom to GPT to Grok to Google Workspace to StreamYard, you know, all these different kind of platforms that we have to be literate in if we want to be running a small business. And with this constantly changing tech stack and platforms, to assume that you're going to be able to hire someone locally who can like manage all of that is like extremely difficult, unless you're willing to pay way, you know, a salary that's going to actually bankrupt you as a small business. And so being able to work with VAs who are used to this kind of agile online environment, and who also, you know, you can sort of switch between ones that have the skills that you need and hire directly for those skills, not necessarily with full-time money. So I think that's like one of the other things that for small business people is super advantageous is that when you're looking at hiring gig workers versus looking at hiring full-time employees, this gives you an additional ability to be agile and to hire, you know, for managing specific tasks or specific platforms, as opposed to trying to find one person who has to be competent at a high level across all those different things. Like it just becomes increasingly unrealistic to assume that, you know, even though there's maybe 40 hours of work to give away, that one person is going to competently be able to perform that, all of those different tasks that you need them. And then also to be upgrading on a continual basis, because just because we're using those specific 20 platforms today, there's really no guarantee that 6 months from now, we're not going to be using completely different platforms to do what we need to do. So, you know, in terms of agility and also just overcoming some of those excuses that we might have as Canadians, like it, we really need to, I think, collectively get over this if we want to move our productivity numbers anything like our American peers. And also just to think about, you know, us as individual investors, right? Because like ultimately you, real estate fan, are listening to this show hoping to give yourself a bit of an edge. And so like in talking about the kind of actions that you can take to stay up to date and to really be able to run at the same pace as the global markets are running, like this is something that you need to look forward and you need to master in the same way that you would think about mastering AI. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, recruiting and what might be some of the ways in which you would do this, and also how you can use specific property management tools and put in some safeguards in how you delegate. So maybe the first thing is to talk about recruiting. And, you know, from a personal perspective, I've had a great track record with Upwork. And actually, before I started recruiting for my admin role, I had built a complete podcast editing team. So from the YouTube channel to the sound editing to the social media management, all done by different people in different countries. I put that team together in probably 2 days of interviewing on Upwork. Now, I didn't do that perfectly. It's not like that team of six people that I hired on day one was with me for the, you know, 3 years that I was editing my own podcast internally before moving on to the Master Passive Income Network. But being able to replace just one person on the team actually ended up not being such a huge deal. So if, for example, you wanted to just replace your sound engineer, well, that means that you're going to have to spend 2 hours on Upwork recruiting the next person. Or if you want to change social media managers, like same thing, that's not a huge amount of instability in your organization because you're really just changing one person. I do know that some of the other platforms that are out there that I have not personally used, but one of it is onlinejobs.ph for freelancers, or else Fiverr is another one that people have had some success with. I personally like Upwork. But so those are kind of the platforms that people use. ZipRecruiter and Indeed, you can find people who will apply for offshore work. It's more going to be a question of how you post that job and what you make it sound like. So I'll give you an example. When I posted a job posting for a social media manager, I had just tons of offshore people applying for that job. Whereas if you're looking for something like a property manager, you know, you might use a ZipRecruiter or Indeed, but the chances that you find people who are offshore for a more in-person role like that are quite unlikely. So the one piece of advice that I can give is also to hire for one specific role at a time. And I think this was the mistake that I made with trying to hire like one admin assistant who's supposed to be able to span all of those different tasks from video editing to customer service to bookkeeping. It really ends up working better if you hire for each specific task that you need done. So if you need someone to administer your QuickBooks, well, hire a QuickBooks specialist. If you need someone to respond to emails and do customer service, well, hire the customer service response person. If you need a social media manager, hire a social media manager. So really hire for, you know, one specific role at a time. And then what I found was very effective in terms of project management. So you definitely need to have some sort of a project management tool like Asana or ClickUp or Monday, Notion. There are like a ton of these different platforms that are available, but because of the time change and because they're going to be multiple people collaborating on a similar project, really it's indispensable to have one of these task managers where you can drop tasks and just really assign different pieces of the task to people and put deadlines, and then also see what each individual support person is doing. So they're able to then go in and check stuff off, and it allows you to know like where they are, and then also just track like some of their hours, because you want to make sure that you are what the work that you're paying for is actually getting done. I then love Loom for training videos. And if you've not had a chance, like Loom has a free membership where you can record videos without actually having the ability to download them or whatever. So I would recommend trying this and using that to just map out online or on screen how you want your support person to perform individual tasks. You can really do that very elegantly through Loom. And then I've tended to communicate through WhatsApp just to be able to, keep up to date and have the person like us to be able to message each other, because be aware that when you're hiring offshore talent, there's going to be a certain amount of time change to manage, because very often they will be working during your off hours. Then the other problem that I had, which I do just want to flag, is that us as Canadians, when I first started doing this, I was hiring on Upwork, and Upwork like does trading in pays people in American dollars. And so, 5 years ago when I started this, that was no problem because there was not the same currency volatility. And honestly, the Canadian dollar was higher. Whereas what I learned with time is that as, our currencies really did fluctuate a lot in the past 5 years, is that I had to then renegotiate and begin paying all my offshore contractors in Canadian dollars. Because if you're earning money in Canadian dollars, so let's say your income, whether it's rent or customers paying you or whatever, if you are making that money in Canadian dollars, but paying all your subcontractors in US dollars, well, when the currency fluctuates, you can really kind of be caught. And that happened to me. And then I ended up having to renegotiate the contracts with my offshore people to be paying them in Canadian dollars. And I will tell you that, from the way that anecdotally those conversations go, it actually tends to not be a problem to do that because, people will understand that it's difficult for us as Canadian businesses to peg ourselves to the US dollar. And they will then just be willing to negotiate pegging that and billing you in Canadian dollars. Now, obviously, platforms like Upwork have a payment possibility, but you're then going to be stuck within the USD ecosystem, which I don't love. As you develop longer term relationships with some of these subcontractors, you can pay them using platforms like PayPal, Wise, or WorldRemit. Those are all ones that I've used in the past. So the only other piece of advice that I can give on that is to start small, give them one task and one SOP and watch how they perform it before you give them all of the keys to the castle. I think just with onboarding any new talent, that's a good piece of advice, is to start small and have them do simple tasks that are perhaps not client facing. And also this is even more the case when you're dealing with offshore talent, because as they're not in the office with you and you actually really don't have a ton of background information on them, it can be just great to build trust in that kind of piece by piece way. Now, the other real fear and concern that people have in Canada tends to be a lot about security and avoiding scams. And so, I don't want to say that this is not a realistic risk, but to be honest, anytime you're inviting any kind of employee, whether they're local or foreign, when you're inviting them into your systems, you are running a risk because they will have access to, client data, information, personal conversations, all that kind of stuff. And as a word of advice, and this goes for, VAs in the same way that it goes for local people, is that there are certain things that you can do to minimize the chance of scamming and potential dishonesty. So the first thing is to only give them access to very small things initially. And whether or not there's dishonesty at play, this is kind of something you want to do anyway, because if they're going to make a mess, you only want them to make a mess in one really specific part of the realm, not everything. There are things like password managers. So, I like LastPass, but there are different tools like this that exist to be able to share passwords with people and have them not actually see the password. So you can just then get rid of their username and from that particular password share. And so it makes it really easy to just go in and add and delete people and not have them actually have access to the password, but to be able to use it through LastPass. And I would also say that, in terms of backing backing up and keeping, you know, sensitive data, like in terms of the stuff that you do share, you want to keep that locked. And if they need to be able to have access to stuff, you can give them viewing rights, but not necessarily modification rights. And then obviously just like simple things like, you know, if you're going to be sharing bank statements, we'll take the time to like black out some of the card numbers or account numbers and things like that. But ultimately, like, really, I think that this fear of fraud, right? Like, I also like to say, like, look, my credit card got scammed last week. Somebody bought a plane, $1,000 plane ticket on my credit card. Lord knows, like, that seems like a pretty stupid idea. I didn't do the exercise of calling the airline, but like, you know, fraud, digital fraud is around us everywhere. And, you know, is the risk of that higher with VAs if you're using vetted platforms like Upwork? I really, you know, anecdotally don't feel like I've ever heard about people getting scammed by offshore labor. And really letting fear stop you from taking advantage of this is just in the same way as, you know, my mom didn't want to be giving her credit card number out online. Like for us who are usually shopping on Amazon, like it's a little bit funny to think that you can function today without wanting to make any purchases online with your credit card. Well, unfortunately, you know, making use of VAs, I think is becoming so ubiquitous that if we let that fear stop us, we're going to quickly be left behind in the same way as some of the older generation who doesn't want to do online banking out of fear that someone's going to steal their data. Like, I think that's unfortunately going to be the future of those who don't want to take advantage of some of these, you know, systems and the new way in which things are done. So, you know, ultimately, I did want to just, you know, give you some insight into, you know, my own struggles with this and to really give you the sense for the fact that this use of virtual assistants to perform specific support tasks for your business or even to allow you to scale as an investor, like if 80% of American small firms are doing this, and we're also aware of this productivity gap between our two nations, can we, you know, as Canadian business people and investors really afford to continue lagging behind our American peers? That is kind of a macro political question, but I would highly recommend that you as an individual investor or business owner begin to become literate in this and capitalize on some of that efficiency and scaling potential that is available to you. So once again, framing that, you know, as a matter of you being able to take action. And, you know, maybe where I want to leave this is, you know, I started the episode by saying that my goal is to really help you make sound decisions and give you some perspective on some of the industry trends that are going on. But if you think about the type of dislocation that is going to result for our young people and our local labor markets as a result of this, I hear people talking about a lot of AI, but when you look at what this is doing to some of the service industry admin roles, I have a grave concern for what's going to happen to our labor pool here, for which there's already a huge mismatch. And to come back once again to just talking about that competitive advantage, if you're a young person listening to this and you're kind of at the beginning of your job searching, entrepreneurial investing journey, like this should be a wake-up call and a call to action for you to really consider investing in the kind of things that cannot be replaced in this way. And so that is, you know, your network, your relationships. And, you know, I found this like really funny when I think about, you know, the various people that I went through a recruiting process with, is that had they made use of this? So if they didn't have, let's say, QuickBooks skills, they could very easily have gone and outsourced that part of their job to, you know, an offshore person. And I wouldn't have minded, even if they told me about it, I wouldn't have minded, but it would have allowed them to perform the tasks that I needed to get done and make them indispensable to my organization. But unfortunately, this is like not the kind of reflection that I see, and that there's this just real mismatch between what's available on our labor market here locally. So, you know, if you're a business owner or an investor, there's like one set of reflections that could come with this. But if you're a young person who's looking at starting out, like I think you know, in strategically thinking about what kind of skills you invest in, whether you try to train yourself more in social skills and just really being able to manage different things and be able to be like agile and investing in your relationships, I think that's really going to be where you're able to assure that you're indispensable to whatever economic activity you pursue going forward. So with that, I do just want to end this by saying thanks for lending me your ears for this half hour. If you've found that this show has been interesting to you, has been useful, please go ahead and share it with someone. You can also leave me a 5-star review on the podcast platform on which you're listening, and you can share this with your friends. Make sure that their phones are subscribed. Grab your kid's phone, your parent's phone, your husband's phone, and make sure that they're subscribed to the show. That helps us get the word out there. And once again, if you're in the Montreal area, I would love if you would come and join my community, the Equity Builders Club, at our next event. So equitybuildersclub.com/events, you can grab a ticket for our next networking event. And I would like to offer you $5 off with the promo code ML5. So that's like my book, Mindful Landlord. The promo code is ML5 to get $5 off Canadian dollars off the next networking event. And that's it for today. So thanks for listening. And I will talk to you 1 week from now, real estate fan. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Real Escape Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schauer. If you find that this show has been useful to you, if you've enjoyed the content, if it's done anything to move the needle for you, please go ahead and share it with one person who you think could profit from listening to it. Until next time, real estate fans.